When the sun went down, the companions pitched camp for the night. They had changed their direction, figuring that a vill must lay on the line cut through the desert plain by the man on the bike. It was still in line with their original course, and a detour couldn't hurt if it gave them a chance to collect more supplies, particularly water. With the heat they had to endure during the day, that was a priority. Ryan looked at Christy, his lover and companion for years on the trail. It was obvious from the way that she sat, staring into the fire, that something was bothering her. He could tell from the way that her flowing prehensile hair had flattened itself, curled around her like a shield. Jack was also preoccupied, Doc was sleeping, and JB and Mildred were some distance off, grabbing themselves a little privacy. None of them had noticed Christy's demeanor, and Ryan felt no need to draw their attention to it.
Problem?
Maybe, lover. Could be I was just spooked by that rider. There was just something that seemed odd about him.
Man riding by on a machine like that that doesn't try and blast the fuck out of you is weird enough these days.
True enough. I just have this feeling that he wasn't as harmless as we thought. I can't say why. You know what this is like. It's like there was a scent of danger, and I can't shake it.
I trust that sense of yours. And to tell the truth, there's something in my gut that agrees with you.
As they set off the next morning, the subject of the motorcycle rider wasn't mentioned. He was long gone in the opposite direction to that in which they now traveled, and there was no sign of his return. The only way in which he was relevant to their journey now was in the hope that his path of the day before would lead them to a vill. It was a hope that was realized within a few hours. Before the sun had risen more than 45 degrees in the sky, they sighted a distant vill. They could tell it was only a small vill by the fact that there were only a few columns of smoke rising into the sky.
Oh boy, do I have a bad feeling about this.
Yeah, don't need a doomy sense for that.
It took an hour for the slow, horse-drawn wag to get close enough to the vill to make out anything other than the smoke. It was a journey that seemed as though it would never end. The horses seemed to go slower with every step. The lack of water was beginning to tell. Problem was, would there even be anything left in the vill when they got there? Right now, they expected to find nothing more than smoldering ruins.
Smell something. Phew. Smell bad.
I fear it is the smell of roast human, my dear Jack. A tragically familiar odor.
Yeah, but there's something else, too. Something sweet, with a bitter undertone.
We go on foot from here. Triple red.
Jack tethered the horses to a fence post on the perimeter of one of the fields, and they began to move in on foot, along the trail that led to the center of the vill. The smell hung over them like a pallid cloud, heavier than the smoke that rose to the skies, more oppressive. The vill was only a small collection of residential dwellings. Some were cobbled together, and some were the remnants of pre-dark adobe houses, patched badly over the years. Perhaps at some time this had been a small mall on the outskirts of a large town. The columns of smoke they had seen from a distance were now easily identifiable as coming from a small area in the center. They spotted scorch marks on some of the buildings and debris that suggested some kind of explosion. More than that, there was an orange tinge that spread over some of the walls. It impregnated the dust on the sidewalks and roads.
What is that stuff?
I fear, my dear John Barrymore, that it may be a portent of terrible things.
Ryan stayed them on the raised hand as they drew close to the center of the vill.
Keep it frosty, people. Anyone who can handle a blaster is going to be trigger-happy and jumpy as jack shit after what must have happened here. Keep close to cover.
So far, they had seen no one, which was strange. First thing anyone with any sense did when under attack was secure defensive positions. Ryan had expected to encounter at least one defensive sec patrol or even a sec man as they advanced. The fact that there had been none did nothing but fuel a dread of what may have happened here. Whatever had attacked this vill, the consequences had to have been severe. But nothing could prepare them for what they saw as they entered the few streets that constituted the center of the vill. The buildings were blackened, with orange streaks that ran across the blasted surfaces. Gaping holes pitted the fronts, with rubble strewn across the streets. Some of the buildings were little more than smoking piles of rubble, and in a few there were fires that still burned in small patches of red and orange flame. Corpses littered the streets, bloated and gaseous in the heat. Some of them were burned and charred, which accounted for some of the smell. Others were beginning to stink of putrefaction. The bodies were all male, and there were a lot of them. Ryan stopped counting at 30, figuring that he now knew why there had been no sec or suspicious and paranoid Vill dwellers to meet them. This was a small place. That many men had to have accounted for a good proportion of the Vill's population. The rest, he figured, if they were still alive, were in one of the burned-out shells, along with any other casualties. He could see from where he stood that there was a building on the far side of the Vill central block that was full of people. Probably everyone left standing. Mostly women and children. They were clustered on the ground floor of what may have been the infirmary before whatever had happened here, but if nothing else, had been converted to that purpose now.
What happened here?
Something swift, sudden, and brutal. A veritable slaughter.
Lower your weapons, everybody. We don't want anybody to think we're here to attack them.
Yeah. It looks like these people have seen enough of hostile to last them quite a while.
All the while, the friends had been moving closer to the building. Its front, an open wound. At least it allowed easy access, which was probably necessary. Women moved in and out, intent on their tasks. They were carrying water, rags, something that looked like medical equipment, or could at least pass for it. The ground floor of the building was littered with makeshift cots and beds, crammed in no order except that which would make use of available floor space. Some of the things that lay on the beds bore little resemblance to anything human. He guessed that these were probably corpses, and that they were there only because there had been no time to clear them when they had given up their tenuous hold on life. Some of them were women, but most were men. And quite a few were unrecognizable, their hair burned off, their skin either blackened or blistered a raw red. Some had wounds that were visibly weeping, bleeding that could not be completely stopped, and that seeped through makeshift bandaging.
Hey, what happened here?
Mister, I don't know who you are, and I don't care. None of us do. If you want to chill us all, if you think there's anything worth taking here, then just do it. But if not, then just leave us in peace to try and deal with what's happened to our menfolk.
We don't want anything, and we mean you no harm. We're just passing through. Maybe we can help a little.
All thoughts of bartering for water and supplies left him at that moment. That could come later. Right now was time to perhaps earn that favor, and perhaps just time to act with a little civilization, a rare enough thing in the Deathlands.
You want to help? Fine. Help bring in some water from our busted pipes on the other side of the Vill.
I may be able to help tend to the people here.
Me too.
Fine, whatever. You with the red hair, hold this man down while I clean his wounds.
The hours passed without much talking. Christie's upbringing in Harmony had supplied her with an extensive knowledge of herbal medicines and the natural healing properties that may exist in anything to hand. She had an expertise that was hard to come by. Mildred's training as a doctor in conventional medicine in pre-dark days was on shakier ground in this environment. She could administer and prescribe only those medicines that were available. In a Vill like this, that wasn't exactly going to leave her with much in the way of options. It soon became clear that there was little medicine that she could use, but she did have one invaluable skill, her training in triage. As painful as it was to make some decisions, she assessed how bad each patient was, how much chance he or she had of pulling through, and how much of a waste or a benefit the administering of medicines would be. That enabled her to maximize the use of limited resources. Furthermore, she was able to work with Christie in identifying the problems of each patient so that the Titian-haired woman could also maximize her skills. It was long, arduous, and tiring work. They kept going for longer than they could keep track of time, and only realized the passing of the hours when lamps lit their path around the makeshift infirmary, rather than the sun. While they worked, the others made themselves busy gathering water. There was some rudimentary plumbing in the buildings, but all of this had been ruptured and rendered useless by what had gone on. Now the water was carried in buckets, in anything that could be used as a container, from the more outlying buildings that were still serviced by the water system. A lot of the water was also going to waste, spilling out of ruptured and broken pipes, and it was vital to fix the ruptures and conserve as much as possible. JB and Jack set to this task with alacrity. Doc, being less practical in such matters, was only too glad to lend his strength to the constant relay of buckets and containers, which left Ryan a little space to unravel this mystery. He walked with the woman they had first talked to as they toured the devastation. Homes still smoldering, charred and broken furniture littering the ground.
What happened here?
Where do I begin?
I'm figuring that a man on a big motorcycle had something to do with it.
You know him?
Kind of. There was a man on a huge bike that passed us by yesterday. We followed his trail, thinking there might be a ville where we could barter for supplies. And here we are.
And he didn't shoot at you?
No. In fact, he waved.
Huh. Well, you got off lightly, mister. Oh, shit. You don't know how lucky you are.
Was he on his own, or were there others?
You won't think it possible, mister. But there was no one but him. No one, I tell you. There's no one left living here who's ever seen anything like it, or would want to again.
Coulthard bastard must have one hell of an arsenal on that bike. Tell me everything you can from the beginning.
You're saying that you're gonna get him for us?
No, I'm not saying that. I won't lie to you. But maybe he's like a mad dog that needs chilling before it bites anyone else. We'll see. Tell me everything first.
Fair enough. But bear in mind that no matter how hard it is to believe, I ain't making any of it up. Or exaggerating, either. Well, days around here pretty much go the same, no matter what. Guess they change with the seasons, maybe even with the weather. But other than that, there ain't much to disturb us. This ville's been here since skydark, and we ain't rich in jack like some. Nor have we got much in the way of growing stuff. But we get by, because we can trade a little. And we don't get no trouble, either. A lot of these places, every day, they got people blasting each other for no reason. Now that's their business if they want to chill each other. But we've always kind of stuck together here. When there ain't much to go around, you tend to look out for those next to you, in case you need them to look out for you next. We were all going about our business like usual. The sun had just hit its peak, and it was no better or worse than any other day. Then, we get word that this wag is coming to the ville. Really, eating up the dirt, great clouds behind it. Faster than anything we'd ever seen come through here before. No one on the edges could explain what it was. Guess that's why we was all so curious. Nothing like something new to get you talking, right? Shit. Wish the cold heart bastard had just carried right on by. Anyway, it was obvious that the wag was coming through here. And being as it was unlike anything we'd ever seen, we figured that it might have something on it for trade or jack. We get the same traders through here all the time. Someone new, some fresh blood, would be more than welcome. Reason I tell you that is to explain why so many people were in the center of the ville when the wag came in. Except, it was no wag, but a bike. Weird-looking fucker. Big wheels, like wag wheels, but it moved like a bike. Rider guided it in and pulled it up quick, with a turn that he shouldn't have been able to do. Anyway, it was real impressive. Word had been spreading while it was approaching, so it was pretty full in the center. Everyone crowding around to get a good look. There was stuff on the bike. A lot of blasters. But also stuff that looked like packs. So maybe he was some kind of solo trader. Dressed odd. Threads like I ain't ever seen before. Kinda shiny. No hide or skin. But not wool or cotton either. And he had these big, dark goggles on. Like the kind you see sectmen wearing on trade convoys. But more weird, you know? There was something going on with them, but I don't know what. We had no idea what was about to happen. He takes off the goggles and looks around at everyone. No one says anything, as there's this kind of weird feeling about the whole thing. It's not like he threatened us, so no one has gone for their blasters. But it's not like he's there to do us any favors. You know what it felt like? Felt like everyone breathed in and held it, waiting for him to speak. And then when he did, no one could understand what the fuck he was talking about.
What do you mean? It was another language?
No, it was the same language we speak. Boy, but not how we speak it. The words we could recognize, but not what they meant. You know when someone gets sick in the head?
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of like that. The words made a kind of sense, but not what you could make out right away. I don't know. It was just all...
Can you remember what he said?
He said, "Good people, I'm Thunder Rider. I've come to deliver justice and peace. For too long, there's been lawlessness in the land. There have been crimes committed against the good people of this and many other vills that have gone unpunished. The good and true cower in the shadow of evil. No longer shall the criminal go unpunished for his crimes. I have come to be your protector. You know who these wrongdoers are, and you stand in fear of them, as they have greater strength, greater callousness, greater evil. You may fear no more, as I have a strength far greater than any they may possess. I carry with me the sword and shield of justice, and it is swift and sure. Vengeance will be yours, and I shall be the instrument. Turn your criminals over to me, and I shall deal with them, restoring peace and justice to your lands." What kind of crazy stoop shit is that, One-Eye?
Huh. You got a damn good memory.
They're burned in my mind. I ain't never gonna forget. Not after what happened.
Go on.
Well, no one did anything. What was there to do? We were all confused. Didn't know what the hell he was talking about. Everyone was looking at everyone else, not knowing whether we should just blast the fucker to be safe. But there was something about him. He didn't look like it'd be that easy to chill him, even though he was way, way outnumbered. Anyway, must have been only a few moments before he spoke again. He said, "So, you choose to ignore me. You choose the way of lawlessness. I offer you protection, and you spurn me. Very well, those who side with the lawless shall share their fate." And then it started.
He started shooting?
More than that, he must have known that his words would make some of us fight. It was hard to understand most of what he said, but by the end, it was pretty fucking well clear that he was gonna blast the shit out of us. He took a blaster out of the holster on his hip. A big, long-barreled thing. And he fired at the first man in his way. The blood and shit that flew everywhere just shocks us senseless. Should have made us run, fight, something. Instead, we stood there, triple-stooped, slack-jawed like some bunch of mutie inbreds. Easy meat, One-Eye. Before any of us was smart and fast enough to react, he'd taken this big-ass rifle from the side of the bike. Well, by then, we were finally scattering. Some had blasters out as they ran, but we were spooked like horses. He was calm, like nothing was happening. I saw him, like a stoop I couldn't take my eyes away. He turns around to the bike and reaches into the packs. He took out this strange little blaster. Looked like it had tin cans in it. He pulled his goggles down, then fired the little blaster over our heads. It hit one of the buildings, side on. Exploded like a gren. Bits of wall flying all over us. But it was more than that. Gas. No, kind of like gas, but not. There was liquid in it. Orange. Stained the walls, spread like an orange mist. And as it came down, it burned those it fell on. Most of those burned by it were chilled, but some are still living. Better off dead, if you ask me. But you can't just let them die. I got lucky. The first grin of orange mist fell way away from where I was standing. Shit, when I saw it burn, I ran. No way did I want that on me. I managed to get cover, watch the rest. I should have done something. Shit, but I didn't know what. And I was scared. He just stands there, saying nothing. Real careful, like he was totally in control. He fires at all the buildings, picking on those corners of the streets with the most people jammed in them to start with. People falling all over each other, pissing themselves with fear. Easy meat. When the mist is falling and people are burning and there's brick and stone and shit raining down with all the buildings on fire, he takes the long-barreled blaster again and starts to pick off men at random. Then he stops, nods to himself like he's just been told to stop, and gets back on the bike. And no one fired back, One Eye. No one. Can you believe that? Maybe we just froze in fear? I don't know. Shit. He just gets back on the bike, revs the fucker up, and rides out. We even pass the bricks, the bodies, the orange shit on the ground. Just like none of it's there. Just like he hasn't taken out our entire bill. So, he's gone. And we have to pick up the pieces and try to put it back together again. So, if you wanted to know what happened, that's what happened, One Eye.